I just pray the Father will open the eyes of your understanding today. This is Deep Call at the Deep. Glory to God. This is a definite culmination. About 10 years, real intense 10 years journey is culminating right now into manifestation of the kingdom of God. What everyone's looking for, manifestation. Turn your Bibles to Joshua. We'll be all over the place today. So in Joshua 6, we've been around Jericho. I remember the Lord 2 years ago spoke to me about Jericho, but he began to lead us in this last month and the wisdom behind Jericho. Last week we shared a whole lot of that. I can review just a moment, but I really need to take this to another level today. Verse 1, it says, Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. Kind of looks like where America is right now. The world really shut up. Praise God. A little bit are coming out now, but God's going to open it wide. Amen. But you have to understand when they came in, this is the land of inheritance. God said, I give you inheritance. They walked into an armed city, but that was God saying, that's your city. Amen. So when God gives you something, most likely it's going to be armed. Most likely it's not going to just be a cakewalk, but if you have the wisdom of God, it can be a cakewalk. Amen. Otherwise you're going to struggle intensely. So he says, the Lord said unto Joshua, this right here, this verse is the verse for everything we do right now. And you must understand that. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, see that I have given. Say, I have given. I mean, that was an armed city. Nobody's breached. It had two walls. They were 35 feet tall with about 40 feet of space between the walls. So if you got over the first wall, they just shoot arrows on you. So the very difficult city goes, see, I've given this already. See. And he gave them very specific things to see. See that I'm going to send the armed forces in front of you, which we now know for us is the angelic army of heaven. See the angelic army of heaven go out in front of you. See the crown, which was the seven eyes bearing the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns. Don't have time to get in that. See that's going out in front of you. And then see the ark going out in front of you. See all that going out in front of you. But for our dispensation, for where we are, we see that from a different space and a different place. We see things from above. Amen. God has given us a position that is above. The reason why you got to get above is you got to break out from this jurisdiction. You get clothed in things here that don't belong to you. You get clothed in things. And we have to get above it. We got to take it off. And we remantle into Christ. Say, shake it off. Surrender. Break off. Sometimes you got to get above just to break the things off. And there we remantle, there we receive, there we pray. But then there, the Bible says, he was crowned with glory and honor upon his resurrection. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. They crowned him with glory and honor and gave him dominion over the works of his hands. And he set all things under his feet. All things where? Under. If it's going to be under, you got to be over. Amen. If it's going to be under, you have to be in a position that's over. If it's going to be under, you got to get over. And to get this world system under your feet, you got to get above it. Amen. We are learning to do that. We're learning who we are. The Bible says we are raised together. See that I have raised you. See. The Bible says the Lord himself did nothing. He said, I do nothing unless I see my Father doing it. You know, before he stood before any miracle, he had already lived that miracle in the Father. He already saw that miracle take place. He already lived it in the living Father. By the time that person showed up, he had already done that. That was the second time doing it. That's why it was so easy for him, because he'd already done it in the Father before he ever showed up. That right there is the battle being won before it's ever fought. That is part of our inheritance. That is what the Lord wants to give us. That is what the Lord wants us to be exposed to. That's the inheritance he wants us to walk in. Think about it. A battle that's won before you ever fight it. Or you're going to drudge through life. If I'm going to have to toil and labor and drudge all my life, that's what we're redeemed from. That's not what we're getting clothed with. Amen. When God took him into the land of inheritance, you know what he told him? I'm going to give you cities. He's telling people who worked for the straw that they laid bricks with all of their life. The house that they built, they had to build it with brick and straw. While they were building other people's houses, they lived as slaves. And he's telling them, I'm going to freely give you cities and homes you did not build. To that, to them, must have been just, I mean, they probably looked at each other and said, did he just say that? Cities and homes you did not build, filled with all good things you didn't fill it with. That is the land of inheritance. That is where Jericho is. That is what he said. See, I've given you this. The king, the mighty men of valor, the silver and the gold. I have given it to you. See, I've given you vineyards and olive yards you did not plant. You know, all that's been like a story, but now it's becoming a reality. Now God is setting us over because he says, you've been raised up. You've been crowned with glory. You've been set over the works of my hands. You have been given dominion. Last week we talked about where dominion was restored in the right hand of God and how to move into that position of the dominion, and all things are under his feet. If you know the reality of who you are, everything you struggle with or ever have struggled with is under your feet. It's under. Some people don't struggle with other people struggle with. Everyone has their struggles, but whatever you're struggling with is truly under if you're above. Amen. I want to get into this position that we have now that's God with us in the earth, because you're going to need that when you draw your circle. Somebody asked me, said, why do we got to draw a circle? I said, one word, focus. If you don't draw a circle, you have no focus. The only reason to draw a circle in the first place is to focus your faith. Amen. Even the Lord didn't move the second heaven principalities. Somebody asked me, he didn't do that himself. He didn't go displace the principalities and powers of the world. Even in his prime, he did not do that. They're still there. Second heaven interference. But wherever he was, they could not interfere with anything he was doing. They had no authority anywhere around him or in him or with him. Even in the boat, when everybody else was getting rocked, he could sleep. Isn't that amazing? Everybody was in the same boat, yet he was in a place where nothing moved him when everybody else was completely hysterical. Isn't that awesome? That's true redemption right there. The being set in the world system, and the world system cannot affect you. Praise God forever. Turn in your Bibles, John 14. Let's see where we've been and where we're going. Everything I'm going to say to you today, I want you to see that in your circle. Say, see it in your circle. That's important. Look at John 14, verse 23. This verse right here could probably sum up John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's the summary of everything he wants to do. We've done one half of what he wants to do, but at least we got the half, right? But I'm here to tell you, the other half's not going to take 10 years. The other half's going to come down real quick. Amen. Took a long time to get up, but coming down. How many of you know coming down the mountain's a lot easier than going up the mountain? Amen. It may take you a long time to climb the mountain, but when you come down, you can move. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, who loves God, raise your hand. If you love God, raise your hand. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Now he's talking to 11 people and 4 chapters. So what he was asking them to keep was this right here. He says, and my Father will love him. He said, if you'll keep my words, these words with my Holy Spirit that's coming, is going to teach you erchomai, which is jurisdictional transfer. And these words are going to cut the veil. They're going to cause you to see what you could not see. And you're going to see me, even though I'm going to leave you. You're going to see me again, but I am going to be seated with my Father at the right hand of God. And he's going to show you how to come to where I am. And then I'm going to bring you to where he is. And then he's going to love you the way you've always needed to be loved. Amen. And he's going to really love you. My Father will love you. And then, and now that's where we've been really up 10 years going up the mountain. Amen. Been a lot easier just to operate in the anointing here. And to bypass all that. But the anointing here gets regulated. The anointing here, after a while, you max out. You start hitting what we call the ceiling. And you're trying to get that thing to the next level. And you, man, you are working that thing and working it. And then what happens is you just have to live under it if you don't know how to go any higher. And if you live under it, you're just going to get miserable. How many of you have ever been miserable in the anointing? Say, but God. He gave us another way because what the Lord was giving us was the mystery of his mantle. And so we've been going up the mountain. We've been kind of mapping things out for a while. And each one of these areas are very beneficial to our walk with God. They keep us. Let me say this. If you keep God's word, his word will keep you. Amen. If you'll keep his word, he'll keep you. He'll keep you in an immovable place. You won't get blown aside. That word will anchor you deep. When the storms come, they'll just blow right past you, and there you are standing. It's not enough to go to the mountain and get blown off. We have to go up the mountain and stay there. Praise God. Now look at the second half of this verse. And we will come unto you where you are, and we will make our abode, home, dwelling place with you where you are in the earth. Do you understand what he's saying in that verse? Very rarely does a generation ever see the manifest presence of when he says we, the Lord saying me and my Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you all this. He's already going to be with you. See, we've lived life with the Holy Spirit, but the Lord's saying there's another level. This is for the hungry. This is for those with an insatiable appetite for God. Those with the insatiable appetite that cannot be filled, that have gone through religion. They've gone through the camp meeting circuits. They've gone to the conference circuits. Because if they're just teaching you dependency upon what is, you already got that. After a while, you have what is. I want what is to come. Amen. I want what is not, and I want to bring it in and make it what is. Very few in any generation get the manifest presence of God. The manifest glory of the Father in their midst. We all have the Holy Spirit in our midst. We all have the anointing. And I am not making light of that because that is a glorious. Without it, we wouldn't even have what we have. Very few get the abode of the Father. What the Lord was promising, my Father will come down to be with you. My Father, when Father God steps down from his throne, church as you know it will change. Father God was standing in Moses' tabernacle. And Father, with Moses and a rod, delivered them from Egypt under the greatest Pharaoh who ever lived. Challenged Pharaoh and broke the back of Pharaoh. Father dwelt with him in a living presence in the wilderness. God the Father came down. God the Father came down to Solomon. And it was dwelling in his temple. That was when the crown and the ark came together. David did something nobody done. He was crowned and then he went and retrieved the ark. When you put the ark and the crown together, them are some serious fireworks. Justin brought this out. I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 6 for a minute. We'll be back to John. Before we see this, we have to see this in his word, because this is what he's doing right now. He is creating the habitation of God in the earth. Father. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up thence the ark of God. Boy, he went and got it. Whose name is called by the name of the what? Lord of hosts, Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. We've seen that in Jericho, right? That what? Dwelleth between the cherubims. So the ark, as you know it, you've seen the movies, they have the two cherubims and their wings, one on the left side, one on the right, and their wings are stretched across the ark, and they're both stretched to touch each other. Those are the cherubim. Amen? That ark was the manifest glory of God, and they said the Lord dwelt right there. Said dwelt between the cherubim. Meaning the ark, wherever it went, the glory of God went. David understood that. That's why he went to retrieve it. He had to learn a few things because of Uzzah. How many know who Uzzah was? Man, that poor fellow. He was just in charge of the cart that was carrying the ark. He was cart boy. And the ark began to shake. And Uzzah touched it, tried to steady it. He died on the spot. And when he died, man, David said, I don't know what I'm doing here. And he sent that ark and he parked it over in Obed-Edom's house. He went and inquired, how do we walk with this ark? And the priest said, take six steps and sacrifice. Take six steps and sacrifice. You're dealing with the glory of God now, David. You're a king. You have a crown. You've already learned how to inherit. You've already learned how to win battles, but you haven't seen anything yet what God's about to do. His glory is about to manifest in your generation. And what you're bringing into the house of the crown is going to transform generations. But you're going to have to respect that glory because it's not church as usual. And he was sitting up there in Obed-Edom. They found out Obed-Edom called on his cell phone one of the kings and said, I don't know what y'all put in my house. But I am highly blessed. The ark was only in his house for 3 months. And he became the talk of the town. God like made him a modern day millionaire within 3 months just because the ark got parked up into his house. And David goes, get that ark up into this city. I love you, Obed-Edom, but that ark belongs here. Find out how to get fat here. David wanted it. He knew its power because God dwelt in that ark. That was what Jesus was promised when he said, my Father and I will come and make our abode with you. What he was saying, as I was with Moses in his tabernacle, as I was with Solomon in his temple, because that ark got up in there and the glory of God flooded the temple. Kings and queens of the day would come and look to watch and to live in the midst of the manifest glory of God. See, David, Solomon could have been wealthy with a crown, but God had something far greater than just the crown and wealth and authority and dominion. There he had that. He wanted to bring his glory up into it. Amen. God wanted to come up and live with man where we are. I'm going to show you what that ark looks like. I want you to go to Matthew 17. Your faith is going to have to see all this because you're going to, everything I'm saying to you, you're going to have to see. Because it's part of an awareness of how to sit down into your circle and develop a habitation for the ark of God to come down to where we are. You can't just do that by shouting, yelling, and repenting. You're going to have to know something. How to get the ark down in, you're not going to beg for it. You're going to believe for it. And the matter of fact, if you know the truth, it's already been done. See that I've already done this. Remember I said in the beginning, see. Everything I'm telling you, your whole journey, isn't it amazing? We enter into something that's a finished work. And once you obtain it, and those of you that obtain these levels, it's easy after a while, isn't it? You look at, hey, that's easy. And everybody else goes, easy. I'm struggling every day just to get through the door. And now some of us can just walk through the door. I remember the day I'd call somebody and say, I got through the door today. I got through the door today. I was able to stand through the door. Now it takes about less than 1 minute to get through the door, to step over. Because you know how to do it. Because your faith has crossed the line. because you're in a finished work and your faith appropriated it. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, all the glory that you're looking for, you're going to come to a place and you're literally going to tell people this is easy. But right now I'm still plowing in some areas. It's a glorious plow though. Praise God. He takes you in the field and he says, this is already finished, but go plow it. Matthew 17. I want to show you what the ark of God is supposed to look like here. This is what God was saying here. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. His face did shine like the sun. And I'm glad he added this. So you know this wasn't, it was a heavenly encounter, but it was an earthly encounter. Right here, his raiment, his clothing was white as the light. The glory of God, the Father, came over the Lord Jesus Christ on that mountain in the earth. God, the Father, touched down. And he says, now the tabernacle of God is with my son. And he lit his whole being up. His face shined like the sun and his clothing turned white. The Bible says, like no fuller on the earth could do it. No cleaner on the earth could make it that way. His literal clothes turned white. Imagine us walking up in here. We're all just white. Light lit up your clothes. That's earthly. God getting up in your clothes and turning them white. Peter goes, hey, let's make 3 tabernacles. God had to put him asleep for a while. Say, hey, Peter, you're dealing with a glory right now. You're going to have this glory on you soon. But you don't know what you're talking about. So God had to put him asleep. He pulled, overshadowed that brilliant, glorious cloud, overshadowed them. Why? Because you had Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, witnessing the final operation of God, which Revelation declares, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. It's with man now. This is what I really wanted. Before, when I was living in Moses' tent and Solomon's tabernacle that David was building, all those were prototypes and patterns. But what I really wanted is to dwell in man. And this is what I look like when I dwell in you. This is what I look like when I touch down into your jurisdiction. This is what I look like. The tabernacle of God. That's why Father said, hey, Peter, voice come out of heaven. Father, man, you gotta be dumb if you're rebuked by Father audibly. This is my beloved son. Hear him. This is the one that's now speaking for me. The tabernacle of God is with man. He lit him up. He said to me, you're not going to see in the kingdom unless you have revelation. Listen, knowledge, you don't see by knowledge. You see by revelation knowledge. It has to be living revelation that lights you up. That's how you see. If it don't light you up, you're not seeing anything. It's just lighting your head up. That'll get you dead, cold, and religious. God has to light the heart up. Amen. He gives the revelation. And when he lights your heart up and you speak, people, they listen because you're speaking out of a revealed word. Unless you're veiled, can't hear anything. He said, I want you to see this. When you do your seeing, amen. I want you to see the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ transfigured in you, Father, because I'm going to show this to you. What you're seeing right there, get a big, big image of. How many of you want the glory of God in the earth? All right. Well, that's what it looks like. It was on Peter. It broke out on Peter in a perimeter instead of cloud. Was around him. And everybody was in the vicinity of that cloud. Got immediately healed. That was the glory. Manifest glory of God on them. Peter in the temple. He said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I got some stuff on me. Amen. Now go back to John for a minute. Because I'm going to show you where to do this. And how to do this on Tuesday. How to get positioned in a focused position to now keep his word. What did he say in John 14? If a man keep my words, he keep my word. Him my Father will love. Does God love you whether you keep his word or not? You don't have to do any of this. Father still loves you. He loves you because he is love. He can't change his love for you. So whether you do it or not, he loves you. He's not talking about whether God loves you or not. What he's saying is, if you'll keep my word, I'll bring you into a state of reconciliation of where I am in the Father, and you'll get loved the way you really need to be loved. But it's my word that's going to cut that veil. It's my word, and your faith in it and keeping it's going to cut the veil. It's going to take you and deliver you into the high places with the Father, the room that I've prepared for you. Somebody say amen. And then my Father and I will come and make our transfigurating abode. How do we know that that didn't happen to the Lord every night he prayed? How do we know that's not what was happening to him all the time? Every time he prayed, how do we know Father was with him all the time? He said, listen, this night all of you will forsake me and leave me alone. Peter goes, I will never leave you alone. I'll make forsake you, but I'll never leave you. He said, before the cock, this night is over. Before the cock crows three times, you have denied me three times. Three times you have denied me before the rooster gives his sound. Peter was going, what is he talking about? That's flesh for you right there. He says, but I'm not alone. My Father is what? With me. What we have is the Holy Spirit with us, dwelling in Christ in us. What we need is Father with us. What we have is Holy Spirit. What we have is the Lord Jesus, the law, the Spirit of life that's made us brand new, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. He is sent to manifest the kingdom. He is sent to teach us. He is sent to demonstrate us. He is sent to teach us the operation, the gifts, and the callings of God. He's also sent to teach us erkamei, which is jurisdictional transfer. My Spirit will show you how to come. He'll show you how to come to where I am. But you know that word, erkamei, is both ways. It means to come and go. So he's to come and go. He's going to show you how to come and how to go. He's going to show you how, in other words, to come to where I am and how to get me to where you are. He's going to show you in and out. He's going to show you how to come in to where I am in the room that I have built for you in reconciliation. But he's also, say also, going to teach you how to bring my Father and I to where you are. He's going to teach you that jurisdictional transfer as well. Amen. That is where we are. I told you a couple months ago, we were on our way down. We're sitting right in the middle of Jericho. We're not on the border of Jericho. We're sitting in the middle of Jericho. We have a legal right. We don't go through the walls. We go over them. It's awesome. God gives you a city. You don't have to go fight everything through all life. You go above it. You receive the glory and honor of the dominions restored. How many can answer this question? Why did he put the dominion above? When Jesus was crowned with glory and honor, he made him have dominion over the works of his hands in the right hand of God specifically. Why did he restore our dominion there? Why did he put it here? But a lot easier because of the first Adam lost it. He's quite assured you'd probably lose it too. You big Houston self. Because I'm not going to put it up into your jurisdiction where you can mismanage the dominion. I'll put it up where we are, where I can manage the dominion, teach you a few things about how it works, grow you up a little bit from an orphan to a son, teach you a little bit about the maturity, how the glory works. Then I'll set you over the works of my hands, but it's all yours. It was given to you from the beginning. It's like you were born in a family. You're an heir. Say, I'm an heir. You're born in a king and you're king. You're 8 years old, but you're king. Everybody knows you're king. People want to take you out because you're king. Say, you're king. You know you're king. You're born into privilege. But they ain't going to be putting that crown on your head at 8 years old. But it belongs to you. The scepter belongs to you. Everybody knows that's the heir. They treat you like an heir. You don't know you're an heir yet. You're just walking around wanting a lollipop. But they're treating you like an heir. After a while, you'll start knowing you're an heir. Start walking around like an heir. And when come time and the king is ready to crown you. But see, God, the Lord Jesus, controls that dominion up there. He controls it. Because he gave it the first Adam. I don't know if you're aware of this. The devil didn't have none of the power he has right now. All the stuff he's doing was regulated, stolen power. He stole it from Adam. He stole the dominion. People understand, well, psychics know the future. No, they don't. They were born with a prophetic gift because they were supposed to belong to the family of God. And God dealt out a prophetic gift to them, and they used for darkness. And every once in a while, they'll get it right. But most of the time, they live in a shack because they live in darkness and they can't get it right. The devil doesn't know the future unless God has given that to people that sold their birthright to the world system, and he steals the dominion. He steals what God gives you. And then he boasts it's his. And he gets people to serve him and drink blood offerings to serve him and sacrifice children to serve him. He said, this is mine. I'll give it to you. He stole it. It wasn't his to begin with. Jesus said, I'll restore this greater than Adam's. I'll take all of Adam's dominion down to the grave. And when I come up, the Father said he crowned him with glory and honor and gave him dominion over the works of his hands. And he crowned you. He made you to have dominion. And that dominion lives in your realm. You have access to it. God has already ordered a whole life of dominion for you. And he says, come up. I'll teach you all about it. Come up, I'll teach you all about it. And we go into a classroom because we say a few things that might be over our head. Everybody goes, oh, that's a little too deep. You know, a doctor doesn't say that when he goes to school. A doctor already knows he's probably going to be in school for 10 years. They don't even question being in a notebook for 10 years, learning about stuff that you and I can't even pronounce. But you don't even know what you're doing it for, getting an education. So you can go out in a world that's shut down. The world system is going to be really good to you. As soon as someone decides to open it for you. Or you can find another system, but get your education because you need to learn how to read and write. Praise God. But God is giving us an education right now in dominion. It's called a dominion education. And it's a good one. It's just taking a little bit longer because we're in church. We're not used to having to learn anything. Or, you know, if it's over our head, we're not used to, we shouldn't be doing that. You should go back to milk. Praise God. Well, after a while, milk just didn't taste good. You got to have a fillet. I want you to see this. I'm going to arm you a few scriptures and I'm going to close. One side you go up, the other side you come down. You got to know how to exercise the side coming down. What do you mean by that? How to get the ark of God into the earth. Everybody wants it. If it was that easy, it would be everywhere. There is a prototype pattern to get that ark into the earth. And Jesus gave the mystery in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 how to do it. He said, you'll have to come up to where I am first. We've learned about that. My Father will love you. We've learned about that. And let's go into the and for a moment. Because we've heard these scriptures, but we focused all the one going up. I want you to show you how to read this. John 17, verse 20, it says, neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Say, that's me. Let your neighbor say, that be me. They all may be one. Now he's going to describe the oneness because we always say, okay, let me tell you what it's not so you'll understand. It's not us all getting together in a state of oneness together here in the earth and say, if we can just get one, God would come in. That is not what he's saying. He's going to describe what he's saying. He's going to describe the oneness he's talking about. They all may be one. As Father, watch this, as you are in me and I am in you, they also may be one where? In us. That the world may believe thou sent me. So, there's two different paradigms he says here. One of them is speaking of where we are in him. The other one is speaking of where he is in us. That one, he says, Father, as I am in you, Father, they're going to be in us where we are. I'm going to bring them up because I'm in you. They're going to be in me where I'm going to bring them up into you. You see that? That's that one. He goes, that's the same thing he was trying to say to them the whole time in the book of John. Do you not know that I dwell in my Father where he is and he dwells in me where I am? I dwell in him where he is in the right hand of God. I've been sent from him, but he dwells in me where I am and he is with me. It's him that's speaking to you.
Who do you think's doing the works? He's down here with me. I'm not alone here. A little different kind of mystery, isn't it? So then he says, and the glory, say the glory, which you gave me that I had when I walked the earth, Mount Transfiguration glory, that kind of stuff. When you gave me, I have given them. I have given. Not going to give, given. Sounds kind of like Jericho, doesn't it? See that I have given. See that I have given you this already. See how to see that I have given you this. I'm going to show you how to see that he's given you this on Tuesday. You have to see that. You can't acknowledge alone is not going to get you there. You're going to have to see. How do you see that? You see by imagery. You see by seeing a tabernacle in a wilderness filled with the glory of God. You're that tabernacle. See, you're the temple. See the transfigurating glory. Amen? Because what we're doing is we need the other half of this equation. Father, I pray that they may be one as we're one, that Father, you're in me and I'm in you. They'll be in us where we are. But then he says, the glory you gave me, I've given them that they may be one, even as we're one. Now watch this. He's going to describe this glory. I, Jesus, in them, and you, Father, in me. That they may be what? Perfected. Say perfected in the oneness. The oneness is not going to get perfected until he dwells in us where we are and Father's dwelling in him where we are. In other words, until Father God brings the abode down, with Jesus, the Father coming down in the abode, we are living in an imperfect inheritance. He says, the glory you've given me, Father, I am in you. No, says, Father, you're in me, and we are in them. Say, you're in me, we're in them, where they are. The abode of God, the habitation of God, the glory of God, the ark of God. Zechariah 2, when he said, Chuck brought out Wednesday night, ministering flames of fire. There are a wall of fire round about us and the glory in the midst of us. Very few generations ever had the glory of God in their midst. They've had power moves. They've had movements. They've had moves of the Holy Ghost. But to have the manifest glory of God, here Jesus is promising any one believer, if you can run the gauntlet and keep my words and stay with me, I will perfect this oneness to the level I can bring you to where I am in the Father. He'll perfect you in his love. And then my Father and I will come to where you are. And we will not only visit you, we will make our abode with you in manifested glory. That's big time. Because when Father God touches down, everything changes. And God is asking this little church with a taco stand to give birth to the habitation of God. That's what we're doing at Jericho. That's what we're doing with the angels. That's what we're doing with the crown. That's what we're doing when he says the ark coming down. It means the Lord standing in the midst of the cherubim. It means the Father. It means you can't even walk up in here without biting the dust. The priest, under Solomon's reign, when they were trying to do the administration, and Solomon had an excellence upon him like no other, they couldn't even stand. They fell out in the midst of the glory, and the Queen of Sheba saw that. That woman just dropped a $60 million offering. And she's looking at the glory of God, and she says, I have no spirit left in me. That's the difference between an anointing and the glory. When the glory comes down, it'll break out everywhere. That's what he's saying. I want to perfect the oneness. You got half the equation. Get the other half. You got the part going up. Get the one coming down. My spirit will be with you. And he'll show you how this works to get Father down into the earth. If you think Father's going to come off his throne and drop down in the earth, how many generations ever get that? And yet it's been available to every generation. And is what God has honed in right now like a laser beam. Why do you think he asked you to create a circle? I need focus, laser focus. As you've been laser focused going up, I need some laser focus coming down. Well, why can't we just call God down? Why do we have to go up? Because there's this thing called second heaven. It's a big issue. It stands between you, first heaven, and God, third heaven. And it's full of demonic beings and principalities and powers. And it constantly disrupts. And even Daniel in all his glory, when he prayed to Michael the archangel, 21 days, just bring something down through that darkness. If you haven't discovered there's darkness out there, what do you think's affecting all this out there? That stuff has to be cut through. And to get all that down, it can happen. But that's not the way God designed it. He designed you to be a ladder to go up and down. If you can't go up and down, the angels can't go up and down. And if you can't go up and down, Father God's not coming up and down. You are the ladder and your faith is going to clear it out, working with God's angels and the Lord and the Holy Spirit for the ultimate purpose of the Lord himself. Get Father God down into the earth because my Father wants to be with you the way he was with me. If you want my ministry, it's going to be the Father dwelling with you because that's who was with me. The Lord just didn't do it with the Holy Ghost. He did it with Father. That's manifested glory, my friends, and that's the mark right now. You want to know what we're about? That's what we're about right there. It'll smash religion. Behold, Revelation says, the tabernacle of God. Say, the tabernacle of God is with man. Say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. He wants it perfected in this hour. Now watch this. You want to see what he really wants to do? He wants a whole global church bringing down a manifested ark in their midst. The manifested glory of God from a global church that understands who they are and just how to do this. And Holy Ghost is teaching us how to do this. Top down. I'm going to share you a vision I had while we're in worship and I'll close. Y'all know we've been talking about these little cylinder things, drawing a circle of dominion. Dropping down into the circle, releasing the angelic host, releasing the crown and the ark. The ark is the manifest glory of God. Now remember, watch this. Let me say this before we close. I want to share this vision. Remember Moses. Remember when God was hot, he was upset with them. And he says, listen, I'm done. I'm done with them. Moses, let me wipe them out. And Moses said, no, God, don't wipe them out. God was going to wipe them out. He says, no, God, look what they'll say about you. If you don't keep your word if you do that, if you wipe them out. God, one man kept God from wiping out millions of people. He was going to take them out. Aren't you glad you don't serve that Old Testament God like that? Whoa, his wrath was poured out on the Lord. We'd be in trouble, some of us, praise God. So he wanted to wipe them out. And God said, no. Moses said, no. He said, all right. He goes, all right, then. I'm going to send my hornets. He called his angels hornets. He goes, I'll send my hornets in front of you and I'll chase out the inhabitants and I'll give you the land. I'll fulfill my word and everybody will know that I'm a God of my word. God is having a conversation with a man. Moses goes, no. He goes, but I'm not going with you. Now God just told him, I'll give you everything you ever wanted. I give it to you. It's yours. Promised it to him. And Moses said, no. If you don't go with me. If you don't go with me, I don't go. I don't want to go without you. I don't want to just have an anointing running around the earth without your manifested glory with it. I've seen what that does. I don't want that. And God said, He goes, and then he took the next step. He goes, God said, all right, I'm going with you, Moses. Moses changed God's mind. 3 times. Then Moses went for it again. He said, now show me your glory. God's probably going, boy, you are pushing it. But God's like, man, dude, you get me, don't you? You understand how to get me. You got my attention. Come up the mountain, I'll show you my glory. Moses gets caught up in the glory of God. He writes the first 5 books of the New Testament because he goes and lives all 5 of them because he was only born like 3,000 years after or whatever. 1,200 years after these guys. I don't know. Some of you date people might know that. But he wasn't born when Adam was there. And he saw Adam and Eve, and I guarantee you there's no computers passing that kind of information down. He saw their emotions. He saw Adam. He saw all the patriarchs born. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their sons, Joseph. He lived all of that out in the Father. In the glory. Got caught up in the glory. I just want one day. I said, God, I just want to go one day in front. Just give me one day and I can cry. He told me, you're thinking too small. I'm like, if you say that to me, you can imagine where the rest of us are at. Praise God. But listen to this. I'm in this dream. And, you know, we drop down on that cylinder. And all of a sudden, because the Lord said, don't stand up there. Stand down now. Stand down in there. Only those who understand what I'm talking about, what I'm about to say, he goes, stand with me. Set your feet down. Jesus said, no man is descended from heaven except the Son of Man that is in heaven. No man is descended from God except the Son of Man that ascends before God, even the Son of Man that is in heaven. Why I'm speaking to you. There's one part of me that's talking to you, Nicodemus. The other part's with my Father in heaven. I know I'm with him where he is, but he's with me where I am. You are a dual citizen, and once you learn how to stretch like that, you ever seen those old Stretch Armstrongs? You stretch that guy out. Praise God. You could stretch him across the room. That's what you are. One part you're going to be up, and you're going to get your feet down. Because in the spirit, you can do that. Man, he's lost it. No, I haven't. I am talking to you how dominion works. And the Lord said, set your feet down in that circle. And while I sat down, here's what the Lord said. I'm closing. I saw the cylinder was straight up. The only way I can describe a cone. You ever seen the things they put over the dog's heads that they walk around, they bang up around so they don't, they bang it everywhere. And they always put a larger cone than they actually need on their head. And they go around banging everything so they don't scratch themselves. I saw that cylinder glass full of the glory of God, and it turned into a cone. It started spreading out like a cone. I was standing there and it started coning. We were all standing there and all of a sudden it flattened out into the earth and light shot out in every direction. He said, you think that you're building a circle, but I got a much greater circle in mind. I just got to get Father down in. And when the Father gets down that circle, he's going to define how big that circle is. He goes, use the faith. The final leg. The final leg is my Father and I dwelling where you are. Keep that word until Father touches down. And here's the good part. It's already been given. It's already been given. See that the Father's with you in the earth. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. This stuff excites me. Because we are on borderline demonstration. So the Bible says in Psalms 24, it says, lift up your head, O you gates, you everlasting doors. Lift up your head. Where? Into the glory. The King of glory will come in through your domain. Who's this King of glory? The Lord of the angelic armies of heaven.